Genesis 19, verse 16. The Bible said, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." Notice, "and upon the hand of his wife," two angels come in, they got her by the hand. Verse number 26, "But his wife looked back from behind him, she became a pillar of salt." Luke chapter 17, verse number 32, Jesus, in, written in red, said, "Remember Lot's wife." Let's pray one more time, ask God to help us in this altar. God, we thank you. Praise you for this blessed Spirit of God that we feel here right now. God, and we're nothing without you. We can accomplish nothing, but I pray you'd help us to preach the burden of our heart. God, give us results in these altars. That's the goal, Lord, is the altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, under some circumstances, we probably just would have shut it down and went to the house. But I feel the same thing Brother Jim did. I asked my former pastor, I don't know, it's kind of like the president. Once they're pastor, they're, you know, you call them president forever. So I don't know how you do that, but I said, "What would you do?" He said, "Preach." So I want to preach out of this text. Verse number 16 said there was two angels come in, got them by the hand, led them outside the city. Verse 26, the Bible said, "And she looked back and became a pillar of salt." If the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach on going to hell with an angel by the hand. Going to hell with an angel by the hand. Lot's wife, it's a woman, we don't know much about her. But for someone we don't know much about, we've sure got a vivid picture of her painted in our mind, don't we? We think of Lot's wife as a sinister woman, a wicked lady. We think of her as someone that from looking at this text, you would think she had had no church background at all. You'd think she'd had no godly influence in her life from someone that come out of such a wicked place and then to be extended mercy by the very hand of God and to turn her back on it. You'd think, well, maybe she don't know about God. Maybe she's from a heathen country. Maybe her people worshiped idols and they were pagan people. But when you look at her life and when you look back before this part of the text, really, there's nothing farther from the truth. If you look at the truth of the matter, she was probably influenced by one of the godliest men that's ever walked on the face of the earth. Understand, she was married to Lot, nephew of Abraham, the man that the Bible said was a friend of God. He was a father of faith. He was a man in the New Testament. It said he staggered not at the promise of God. He's known to have a faith in God. He was also a man that was known everywhere he went. He would dig wells and he would build altars and he would sacrifice to God. Even a man that went so far as to give God the thing that meant the most to him. So understand this woman in my text that I read to you, she's not a heathen, she's not a pagan. She's had one of the most godly influences that could have possibly been in her life. She's accustomed to prayer. She's accustomed to the presence of God. She knows what it is to see a man that was led by the Spirit. The Bible said Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker was God. He went about being led by the Spirit of God, being led by God. She lived with a godly people, traveled in a godly companion. She lived there. She heard it. She felt it. But my text says something totally different about her. Somehow or another, she went from living in a godly presence under godly influence to the text I read you where the very angels of God themselves couldn't convince her that that's the direction you need to go. Somehow or another, she went so far away from what she knew to be right. How'd she get there? You know the story. Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen had strife. Abraham said, "Pick which way you want to go." They said, "We'll take the well-watered plains. We'll go that way." And the first step they made on their downward spiral was they removed themselves from the presence of godly people. If they would have known what was ahead of them, Brother Steve, I believe they would have sold the cattle. I believe they would have fired the herdsmen. And they would have told Abraham, you're not getting rid of me. I want to keep the presence of God. If they could have seen a few years down the road, Brother, they would have never took a step in that direction. If they could have seen what the whale water plains held for them, they would have got rid of every cow they had. They would have got rid of any and everything that would have took them away from the man of God and the presence of God. But somehow or another, all they could see at the time was what looked good to them. They didn't see heartbreak down the road. They didn't see tragedy. They didn't see turmoil. They didn't see the chaos of Sodom. All they seen was what they wanted right then. If they could have only seen. My God, if we could have looked into the, if some of you could have seen where you was at now, where you would be right now when you decided to leave God, you would have never left God. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. If some of you could have looked down the road, you seen what you wanted right then, and it was appealing and it looked good, but if you could have looked a few years down the road, and you could have seen your home tore all apart, if you'd have looked a few years down the road, and seen your children lost, if you'd have looked a few years down the road and said, I never thought in a million years I'd be involved in what I'm involved in, you'd have stayed with God, you'd have got rid of everything in your life that would have pulled you away from God. It took some time for them. But like always does, they made their way to that place. At first, it seemed strange to them. They're accustomed to Abraham's prayer. They're accustomed to Abraham's way of worship. They're accustomed to altars. But when they get in that place, at first it seems foreign to them. The sin and the depravity, the perversion and the filth of Sodom, it all seems strange to them. And had the angels come right then, they probably would have went with them with no problem, because it was so weird and it felt so awkward and it wasn't right. But you know how it is, don't you? When you get used to sin and you get accustomed to sin, and our hearts get hardened to the Spirit of God and the presence of God, and the things at one time would have made us sick to our stomach are now involved in without feeling any bit of remorse or shame. That's the way sin does. It blinds us to the effects of sin. It hardens our heart to the presence of God. And now they live in Sodom. Then no doubt they get attached to Sodom, and the things of Sodom doesn't seem not bad anymore. It took some time for them to get there. No Abraham, all of that, all of the sin of their life, after a while it just seemed normal. Boy, it's a lot of people in this world. They live really in a homemade hell and they think it's normal. Because sin has so blinded their life. Their whole life is turned upside down. And they think that's where Lot and his wife is at. That's right where they're at. But you better believe me on one thing. Brother John Sewell, they never forgot Abraham. They never forgot what it was. And I believe after it was all said and done, that's where I want to preach. Because I believe with all of my heart, what I feel on my heart, that's where somebody right here is at tonight. If you looked at your life right now, somebody looked at you, you'd think, man, there's no godly influence in their life at all. They must not know anything about God or church or living right. The way you're living, the things you're involved in is so far from where you one time was with God. Things you're playing with and getting involved in, to look at your life would think, man, they must not know anything about God. But I felt this afternoon in prayer that God direct me this way. When all reality, there's people sitting right here tonight that knows full well what it is to experience the presence of God. You know what it is to be up under the blood of Jesus. Jesus. At one time you would have been up at this altar on your feet worshiping, but now you're far removed from God. You know what it is to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what it had been to feel the presence of God, but somehow or another sin lured you away, and now it's doing its best to destroy everything in your life. It's trying to tear your whole world apart, and if you could have known then what you know now, you'd have stayed with God, because brother, the wages of sin is death, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There's nothing in your future but destruction and death. Some of you have sang under the influence of the Holy Ghost right here in this place. Not only that, some of you have preached under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And boy, I was praying this out, and I said, it's a sad thing to know there's people in this tabernacle that's preached under the influence of the Spirit and warned people about hell, and now they're going to the same hell. They sang about the blood, and now they've turned their back on the blood. They've sang about sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you long. They sung those songs, but now they're living those songs because somehow or another an allurement pulled them away. And now, oh, how horrible it would be to go to hell from anywhere, but to go to hell having an angel by the hand, going to hell living under some of the most godly influences that's on the face of the earth, and still die lost and go to hell. Hell's going to be bad for everybody. But I believe, I don't know, I don't necessarily say the flames would be hotter, but for somebody that has experienced this, the Bible said it would have been better for you never to have known than to have tasted it and walked away from it. Brother, I couldn't imagine Brother Bryant going to hell after I stood in front of 300-400 people and preached to them, or sang, my wife sang, and Brother Steve experienced the things that I've experienced and walk away from it and die lost and go to hell. That's where some people's at right here. You've got godly influences in your life. There's people praying for you. There's people reaching for you. God's dealing with your heart everywhere you go. God's pulling. And I wonder tonight, house, if somebody here, like Lot's wife, she had the angel by the hand. He was leading her to safety, but sin lured her back, and it was the last opportunity she ever had. Oh, God, I wonder tonight if there's anybody here. The Bible said, who among us shall dwell in everlasting? I wonder right here tonight, is there anybody? We don't want to think about it, but people that have turned their back on God. There's a young man that I knew personally. He'd been in and out of church for years. All his life, really back and forth, had a praying daddy, good mama, solid church, great church. He'd been in and out of church for years. He got saved a couple of years ago and was doing great, so it seemed. He kept a journal every day for 10 months of how long he had prayed, how long he had fasted, what happened in the church. So he kept a journal every day. Seemed like he was doing great. They went to a funeral. And lo and behold, if some of his old friends didn't show up at the funeral. Brother Steve, one night, a funeral, he went there to a friend of theirs that had died. And that one night, his old friends were there, and they said, hey, won't you just come go with us? Just come on. And I guess he felt solid or secure, I don't know. For whatever reason, he left and went with them 80-100 miles away. 3 o'clock in the morning, he was texting a boy, are you up? He did that all the time. That boy just really didn't think nothing about it. He just didn't text him back. Text him again, are you up? But see, the man of God had stood up in church a little while before that and said, I seen one of our young people in a casket. They crossed the river, and then I seen a casket in the church. Really, one of the preachers in that church said, Brother Vic, we thought he missed it. We never have funerals at our church. That boy, 3 o'clock in the morning, coming back from a party that he went to with some old friends, was texting. He wasn't texting just to talk. Brother, he was in the back seat of a car going out into eternity. He was trying to get somebody to pray in one night. It don't, see, we like to think, a lot of times we think it's going to take years and years, but one night, one mistake. And brother, in the back seat of a car, overdosed on drugs, went out into eternity. He was trying to get somebody to talk, trying to get somebody to come back, trying to get somebody to pray for him. But for 10 months, I've come to preach to somebody. There's power in the blood tonight that can bring a backslider back. But there's a danger in turning away and walking away from God. I feel the presence of God here. I believe there's sinners in the house and backsliders in the house. That you know what it is to feel what we feel here tonight. You've known what it is to experience that and walked away from God. You wonder why everything in your life. I'm not going to preach long. But I feel the Holy Ghost here. You wonder why everything in your life's falling apart. Wonder why everything you touch goes wrong. Relationships are failing. Everything, you're miserable. Sleep of age, your fears, your constant companion. What is that? It's what Jonah felt in the belly of the whale. He said, from the depths of hell, cried I. But it wasn't hell at all. It was the mercies of God. See, I don't want to leave somebody in this place right here. Because this lady was being pulled out by heaven and she went to hell. But there's a thief I read about on the cross that was going to hell. He was right at the door of hell, but he got pulled back by heaven. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody under the sound of my voice, you're backslid on God, you're away from God, you're lost, you know you'd go to hell if you died right now. I don't want to leave you in a salt pile somewhere. I don't want to leave you there. I want to preach to you that the blood can still rescue, that Jesus is still calling, that woman went to hell being pulled on by heaven, but there's a man that went to heaven being pulled on by hell, and I would to God tonight somebody would get under the load of conviction and they'd run to this altar and say, my God, I don't want to go to hell, not after what I failed, not after what I've seen. I don't want to go to hell, preacher. I want to get God back in my life. I want to give my life back to God. I'll tell you, you don't want to go to hell knowing what you know. You don't want to go to hell after feeling what you felt. You don't want to stand before God and look at him and say, God, what about all of that? I felt you. I had you. I had you in my life. And hear him say, depart from me. It's going to happen to a lot of people. It's going to happen to a lot of people because they'd rather have the pleasures of sin for a short season. I'm telling you, I felt God ask God, what about tonight, Lord? What to preach? Maybe I should have preached it this morning. I don't know. But I'm telling you, God, I felt him with, she went to hell with an angel by the hand. I mean, he had her hand. She was out, brother. All she had to do was keep walking that way and she was safe. But can you see Lot? That next few days, gets up in that mountain, Brother Steve. His daughters caught him into just filthiness. As that man wakes up and looks around, he's lost his kids back in Lot, back in Sodom. He's lost his wife. He's lost his daughters. He don't know where Abraham's at. He has nothing. Everything in his world has fallen apart because he decided, I want the well watered plains. I wonder if anybody here tonight, you could say, preacher, that's where I'm at. My world is literally just falling apart. Everything I touch is just crumbling. I feel like but could it be that it's the mercy of God? Because God could just let you go your own way. I'm afraid there's some people I know that's close to me. I'm afraid if they're not very careful, they've got just about reached that point. Because they played with the mercy of God for so long. They come and pray. Say, I got saved. Keep living in sin. Come and pray. Go back to sin. Come and pray. Go back to sin. 10, 15, 20 times. Holy Ghost speaks. Brother Steve, they get scared and run to the altar. Preacher preaches, they get scared. But there's never a change in their life. There's something in them. I told my wife, there's something in them. They want to do right. But there's something in them that's stronger that won't sin. But I feel the Holy Ghost calling somebody to a decision. You can't have both. You can't. I really believe that. There's some people, you say, well, if they want to do right, I know they'll do. But I believe some people, there's part of them that they want this. They don't really want to go to hell. But there's something down there that's stronger. The pull of the world is stronger. And right now, they're in a place of in between. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Could it, that young man, one night, one pleasure, one, it went out into eternity. I don't know if he had time to make it right. I hope he did. I don't know. Other stories I could tell, and you've heard them, story after story. I'm not here to tell you stories. I'm here to preach to you what the Holy Ghost put on my heart. Going to hell with an angel by the hand, knowing what you know. What you feel right here tonight, the same, I said it last night, or maybe this one, the same spirit that's causing us to rejoice and shout, I believe is dealing with the hearts of backsliders and sinners. Reality is there's some people right here tonight that's backslid that don't look backslid. There's some people right here that look good that's not any more right with God than the sinner on the street. I really believe that. And if you don't come to yourself and realize, I've got every opportunity, Brother Joey. Understand, there's a lot of people out there, young people, and not just young people. They have never sat in a service like this. They've never felt, you've been given every opportunity to do right. The presence of God is here. You're surrounded by people that love you, that'll pray for you. There's people out there tonight that would give everything they had to have the opportunity you have, and you're just throwing it away. You're just throwing it away, playing games with it. I want to tell you, God's calling you tonight to make a decision. Would you stand with me? If somebody gets us a song. I know it's cliche, and I've heard a lot of preachers say it. I wouldn't want to go to hell from anywhere. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't want to go to hell from a bar. I wouldn't want to go to hell in a drunken stupor, in a car wreck. I wouldn't want to go to hell from a casino, whatever you can. But my Lord, to go to hell from wholeness camp, to go to hell from a wholeness, it happens. We don't like to think, and I'm not that kind of person. I'm not doom and gloom. You know me by now, I'm not. But when I feel the Holy Ghost prompt me, I have to tell you, it does happen. There's some good preachers that live holy. They have to stand in their pulpit and look at some mama's boy, some wife's husband right here, and stumble over their words, trying to be careful not to preach them into heaven, but not to break their family's heart because every outlook looks like they went to hell. It happens. Boy, I'd hate for it to happen here. When the Spirit of God's been here tonight, so sweet and so real, I believe I'd just break for the altar and come on out. Say, I'm tired of running from God. You want to step out? I know we think, well, she don't have to say, is there anybody here right now? You step out and say, I'm coming back to God. I'm tired of running from God. I'm tired of playing games with God. I'm going to step out right now and I'm coming back to God. Come on, step out quickly. I know you're here. I feel the Spirit of God. I pray today. I said, God, I don't want to preach like this. And I guess it's every preacher, brother. You don't want to preach like this and nobody pray because you feel such a burden. Somebody else, you know you're not right with God. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. Come on here. Quickly, step out. I need to get right with God. Come on. There's more here. You need to be making your way to this altar while God's dealing with your heart. Come on, quickly. We're all going to come. We're going to come pray with these. Somebody else, you need to step out right now and come to this altar while the Spirit of God's dealing with you. Hey, I remember growing up under Brother Steve. I remember the stories he told that would just raise a hair on your neck about people that God had quit talking to, people God had quit to. I've never forgot those. I don't want to hear no more of those. Come on, these are praying. We're going to come. Is there anybody else? Come on, backslider. Come on, sinner. Ain't you tired of sin? Ain't you tired of running from God? Ain't you tired of being miserable? Ain't you tired of being miserable with yourself, living in fear? Oh, hallelujah. Anybody else, quickly, while my wife sings. All right, church. Let's gather in around these. Let's pray and help them pray. There's more sinners in the house than these. There's more backsliders here. You need to be in this altar. You need to be in this altar. Come on. Get it right with God tonight. It ain't enough to look good. You got to be right.